Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
You know, sometimes I encounter people and they come up to me in the street and they say, Lydia, can I hug you? And I says, yeah, and I love that. Food is quite touchable and basically I become quite touchable.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org proudly presents Evolutionaries, Lydia Bastianich. Lydia Bastianich has two passions, family and food, and she's managed to create a culinary empire using both. Lydia is the chef owner of four acclaimed New York City restaurants, Philidia, Becco, Esca, and Del Posto, as well as Lydia's in Pittsburgh and Kansas City. She's the author of over 10 cookbooks and has hosted more than four television shows on PBS.
I was kind of blessed in a simple way, and that is family. My support was the family. We came here as immigrants. I was 12 years old, my brother, my mother, and my father. Now, I kind of have to explain why we came as immigrants. I was born in Istria. Istria is a little peninsula that is now part of Croatia. But it was Italy. And after World War II, and Italy was on the losing side, when the territories were divided, Istria was given to the newly formed communist Yugoslavia. We got caught behind it, behind the Iron Curtain. I was just born at that time, just the end of the war. And we were in communist sort of regime for 10 years until my parents decided that we needed to go back to Italy. They needed to get us kids back to a normal life, you know, where we could speak Italian, go to church and do all the normal things. And my brother, my mother and I went to visit some aunt that were left in Italy. My father ultimately escaped. We came to Trieste. We had family, difficult living with the family also because jobs were hard to get. And finally, my parents decided to go to refugee camp. We ended up in a political refugee camp, San Saba. And we lived there for 2 years in the camp, awaiting a visa to come to the States or to Australia or to Canada. Those were the options, what my parents were looking for. And we were one of the first family to be brought here. We were brought in the United States in 1958. We were brought here by the Catholic Charities, so we had nobody here either. We came here and we slowly began our life as Americans. But I was 12, my brother was 16. Us kids really got into it. So, you know, I feel very American and I feel very Italian. My passion for food is Italian. You know, those 10 years in communist Yugoslavia, I was put with my grandmother. My mother was a school teacher, and therefore she worked in the city. But my grandmother would take me to church. Nobody knew that me and my brother, and we would speak Italian. But what was beautiful about that setting was that she had this magical courtyard with all the courtyard animals. We had ducks, we had geese, we had chickens, we had goats, we had pigs. And all of that, and the garden, you know, the seasonal garden, everything from wheat to potatoes to corn to we made our own flour, our own olive oil. And so I grew up in that really connected setting, connected to food. I mean, you know, we would milk the goat. I would drink a warm goat's milk, make the cheese from the goat cheese, the ricotta, the fresh ricotta from and all of that. So my recall memories of food goes back to there. So I think that that's my kind of reference library for food, that kind of honesty, and I still cook in that fashion, in that philosophy. And then coming to the States, you know, I made, United States is my home now, and I, you know, I feel very connected. I did not speak English at all. You know, once we were in the camp awaiting, they had an opportunity, a class that you could go, and we did, but I did not speak the language. So I must say, for my brother and myself, it was very exciting, the discovery. So when we came here, we said, okay, finally, we can make this. We can put maybe our roots here. Maybe we can, this is our home. We're not going anywhere from here. And I think it was the excitement of having finally that kind of reached that destination that we could make our own. And, you know, at 12 and at 16, the world is your oyster. I mean, you're there, you're ready. And I had all positive memories of discovering America, learning English. Within a year, my brother and I spoke English. My parents had a more difficult time in adjusting. And as children, you realize that, and you kind of try to sort of helped and settle them. And that's why I maybe began working very early at 14 in the bakery right across where we lived, and then in restaurants when I went to school, you know, like kids do today, more or less. But I found that food was my venue. My mother used to work late. I used to make dinners for the family. She would kind of set it all up for me. She said, soak the beans, change the water, put it in half an hour, put the potatoes. So in her own way, she would give me instructions and recipes at that age.
Lydia came to the United States from Istria when she was 12 years old with her parents and her brother Franco. She had wanted to become a doctor, but fate had other plans for her.
I wanted to be a pediatrician, and I remember there was a ship of hope that would go around Africa and whatever, and the doctors would go and help the children. And that's what I thought I was going to be. And maybe that's because so many people helped us along the way getting that was, you know, the feeling that I want. Then, you know, things happen. But I did in college, you know, I went on through the sciences and all that. So I was kind of, but food really took over once I met my husband, who was in the food industry. And I guess that was my destiny. I ultimately got into the food line. But food is also a great way of, you know, giving to people, giving back. There's so many opportunities that we as chef, as everybody has, to give back the basics, the food.
When Lydia was 24 years old, she opened her first restaurant, Bonavia, in Queens. The success of Bonavia led to the opening of a second restaurant in Queens, Villa Secondo. It was here that Bastianich gained the attention of local food critics and started to give live cooking demonstrations, a prelude to her future career as a television cooking show hostess.
It was all about the family. So my two children were born. My mother lived with us. She's 93. She still lives with me. And I would work, and she would take them home, put them to bed. And so this kind of caring, I was, you know, really family and nurturing, just maybe like I remember back home with grandma. But Joe and Tanya were always at the restaurant, in a sense. They would get their meal there. Grandma would come. Then she would take them home. And, you know, because I had to work and, you know, I wanted to be with them as well. So they really got to be in the restaurant. They used to do their homework in the restaurant. But I always used to tell them, this is not what you're going to do. This is, you're in America, you get your education and get a real American job. And so they did. You know, Joe, his master's business, went to Wall Street. Tanya, ultimately her PhD in Renaissance art history from Oxford, went a professor and so on. They both work with me. So what happened, I think, along the way is, and I'm so blessed, is that they realized how important this culture is and maybe how much fun and how much, you know, it kept the family together, this business did. And so they slowly followed into the business in their own right. You know, Joe with all the restaurants and the shows. Tanya is being the academic type, does all the research, co-authors the cookbooks with me, directs my production company. But now I have grandchildren, so grandchildren are all mine.
In 1981, the Bastianich family purchased a small Manhattan brownstone containing a pre-existing restaurant on the east side of Manhattan. That brownstone would become Thalidia, their flagship restaurant, which quickly garnered rave reviews, including 3 stars from the New York Times. Lydia didn't stop there. With the help of her family, she went on to expand the business, opening 3 more restaurants in New York and additional restaurants in Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Here I am, I have Thalidia, and it's glorious. I have a grand time. I'm getting a lot of awareness and opportunities, and then my son Joseph decides that he's going to leave Wall Street, and again, this is what he's going to do, and you know, all right. And so we move on to the next stage, which ultimately was wonderful. But once he got in, you know, he was American. He's American born, he's young, educated here, and he said, Mom, you know, we opened, we had Thalidia, and of course, then we opened Becco on West 46th Street about a year and something after. And that was his business involvement, you know, encouraging him to do what he wanted to do and what he knew best. We found the space, we got the concept, big success. And after that, he says, Ma, you know, there's a whole big America here. We shouldn't just stay in New York. And let's go in middle of America. Let's go in the Midwest. So we went. We visited Ohio. We went to Kansas. Ultimately found this place. We actually, a young man who was from Kansas City and worked for Banffy, actually, Banffy Winery in New York here. He says, you know, I want to go back home, and I think that Kansas City would be the perfect. And ultimately, we went there. We researched. Why right across the railroad tracks? I think that was so Midwestern, you know, it was perfect. It was an abandoned brewery, or and I felt that, you know, the whole neighborhood was kind of a little bit abandoned, but I felt challenging. I said, this, you know, this could be beautiful. Look at the trains coming and going. It really exemplifies America. And that's how we landed there, and we're still there, and it's a great place to be. The whole neighborhood is so revived now. And we actually got the key to the city for being one of the catalysts for the revival of that neighborhood. I was married 27 years before we separated. And the idea was that he just wanted to call it quits. He wanted to go and retire, go back to Italy. And I was just in the midst of I loved what I did. There was no way that I was going to. So it's you know, I guess traditional is the usual way where the two roads kind of go in different directions. You know, I didn't want to impose on him what I wanted to do, and neither did I want him to impose on me or limit me in any way. And we remained friends. I mean, he passed away since, but, you know, we would have all the holidays and everything with the kids. So our relationship really remained the kids by then were married. I made sure that they had their own family so that they wouldn't be. So it was kind of almost a natural split that gave him the opportunity to do what he wanted and gave me an opportunity to do what I wanted.
In 2010, Lydia Bastianich continued growing her business, and along with her son Joe, she partnered with Oscar Farinetti and Mario Batali to open Eataly, a 50,000 square foot food emporium in Manhattan that is devoted to the food and culinary traditions of Italy. Eataly's motto is, we sell what we cook, and we cook what we sell.
As I said, you know, I transported the true Italian culinary culture that I knew that I was part of to my new adapted home America. And I did it in the most genuine way, you know, like you would somebody bring it in your home and say, this is my home, this is what I do. What happened is that, you know, I got involved in a sense of really understanding the evolution of Italian cuisine in America and ultimately seeing how, you know, what I was doing was making a difference. Now, you know, I this message that came out of my passion, my communication. So it didn't have the you know, the ultimate goal, okay, I'm going to promote all of Italy. But it ultimately did. You know, there's certainly so many more people that are doing the same. But I guess through my restaurants, through my visibility, through my books, my television, now the spread of our restaurants and the partnership with Eataly, which is, you know, it's this big marketplace, if you will, that really exemplifies Italian style, the best that Italy has to offer in every 360 degrees, from raw food to prepared food to restaurants to, you know, so between doing television in Italy, even now, somehow, you know, it's more evident that what I did and what I do has a lot of resonance out there in the world, especially in America, in bringing Italy and Italian products and Italian food forth. You know, I always hold it very important that I do justice, that I, you know, research correctly, and then I bring it forth correctly. If that has some financial benefits to somebody, you know, that's great, because it keeps the Italians working and it keeps the American understanding ever better the good flavor of the Italian cuisine. But my message is always the culture, the real culture of Italy. I look for a sparkle in a young person's eye, the enthusiasm and passion when they speak about food, but it could be in any way. I can see it, you know, writing about food, photography of food. When I see that sparkle and that desire, then I want to put my hands on, I want to be there for that person. And whatever I can do to lead them, to lead that energy, it's, you know, it's almost like physics. If you have inertia, you know, for me to energize inertia, but if I have energy, if there's a ball moving there, I'm going to kind of push it around in the direction that I want. So I think the most exciting thing for me is when I do see these young, enthusiastic individuals that, you know, certainly have accomplished already so much, or that are just getting there. And if I could be instrumental in any way, you know, and we look for those a lot in our companies. And the why did we grow so much, and how could have we grown so much? And it's precisely because of those talented individuals that we were able, maybe that came to us also because they kind of, you know, one energy pulls the other, and together. These energies, these newfound energies, allow us to grow as a company and allow them to grow as themselves within the company, with us, or move on and do their own things. The young people, and, you know, I am so excited by the enthusiasm of the young people in getting involved in food-related businesses, jobs, whether it's writing or television or photography. Food offers so many different aspects of you know, making a profession out of it. The one thing that I can say, and, you know, I can talk about the food preparation and in my industry, the restaurant industry and so on, is that you need to be prepared as a human being. Therefore, I always recommend that young people do their education into college to enrich themselves, whether they love music or something. Just enrich yourself in what your curiosity is. In the meantime, keep your hands dirty if that's what you like, if cooking. Get opportunities to work, to do, to stay people close to stay close to people that whose work you appreciate and admire. Then, of course, you need the actual training in the field, you know, the go to a cooking school of some sort for the basics, and then travel, experience other cultures, experience the world, experience food in the raw, just get an understanding what the cycle of food really is from the earth up. Along the way, you know, if you admire somebody, or you know, in a sense, a mentor, find them, spend time, make sure that you get close to them and that you take from them what you admire from them. And usually these people are very receptive, and you have to, you know, make it your business. So you have to accumulate, you have to make this great library of resources within yourself, collect all of these experiences. And this takes years, you know. I mean, sometimes I interview people young from school, you know, and just like you said, in as a mentor, to give them a sense of what they should be doing. And, you know, and I asked them, well, where do you want to come with your life? Where do you want to end with your life? And these are people, you know, 20, 22, 24. I want to be like you. I said, okay, 40 years and a lot of hard work.
This piece was produced by Aaron Fairbanks and Jack Inslee for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The songs used in this piece are Prospect Dub by Archipelago, Carried Away by The Hollows, Make It Right by Comanche, Grey Goose by Tom Cruise, Vicodin Dreams by Taxstar, Ancestors by Peels, and yet again Prospect Dub by Archipelago. Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.